What does it mean to know God, to have a relationship with him, to be in his presence, to walk with him? These are words that we throw around all the time in the Christian faith, but what does it really mean? Well, that's what I want to dig into today. What does it look like to know this amazing God that created us? How do we practice the discipline of that? How do we practice the art side of that, of emotions and connecting with him in these unusual different ways outside of his scripture and his word? Let's talk about all of that today, what it means to know God and to be known by him. You ready? Let's get started. Welcome to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle, Bible teacher and life coach, and I help Christian women like you rediscover joy and find balance through a renewed mind and a life-changing connection with Christ. Friend, I am so glad that you are here. So find a cozy spot and let's get started on today's episode. Hello, my friends, and welcome back. So glad you are here and hope you are doing well. Today, we'll talk about how that life, the vibrant life that we are all really truly longing for, it begins with knowing God himself. And that can be a very complicated question, kind of a tricky question. What does it mean to know God? But yet, in some ways, it's pretty simple, right? So I want to break down all these things for us today and have an honest discussion about what it means to grow in Christ, to hear his words. Of course, we will be going deeper into those topics in other episodes, like specifically those different topics. But today we're going to just introduce this whole concept of knowing God. And so for me, I know we all have our own individual walks with Christ. We all have known him for certain amounts of time, or maybe God has brought us out of certain things. For me, I did not grow up going to church. I didn't grow up knowing really God. I grew up in a moral household with great people, but I was not introduced to this relationship with God until I was 19. And that was when I was in college. And I had been asking all kinds of questions about life and had gone through some difficult situations. And I was like, why this? Why that? How can God offer this? And why, you know, all these things that I really believe now, looking back, brought me to a place where I could know Christ in a way that was real, that I could develop a relationship with him that was without a lot of baggage. I had the gift of knowing Christ and being introduced to his teachings in this really pure, beautiful way. I was discipled by another young woman and other older women in the faith while I was in college. And the things that they taught me about the purity of God and connecting with him and reading his word, how to study a Bible verse, they resonate to me today. So I want to encourage you that if you are asking questions about who is God, what does this mean to know God, that there are answers, number one. Number two, that it's never too late to ask that question, that God is always there. He stands at the door and knocks, he says, and he wants us to come in and supper with him is what the old gospel word says. But that we have this opportunity, this invitation to go beyond what we're experiencing every day and to literally know the creator of the universe. It is a powerful, life-changing thing that will come into your life should you choose to have it. And it will change everything for the good. It will give you purpose. It will give you meaning. It will give you hope. It will give you joy in all circumstances, because it's all based on things that are outside of this world and can't be taken away. So as I share about that today, I want you to know, first of all, that none of us are beyond the scope of hope and healing. You cannot run too far from God where he cannot find you. He knows your heart. He loves you. He created you just as you are, and that's fine. He wants you to come home to him, whether that's for the first time and knowing him altogether, or that is a renewal, or that's just, I'm going to make a new commitment today to go closer and closer to him, that I'm going to continue to reinforce that commitment. So having a relationship with God overall is more than going to church. It's more than even reading your Bible, I would say. It really is having a relationship. I mean, put rather simply, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. You may have heard that phrase before. It means your life is changed because he's in it. Just like when you have a relationship with somebody else, your life is different because they're in it. That's what it's like to have a relationship with God. It's different because he's in it. And because it's an encounter with the living God, and it's not an encounter with another human, it can feel mysterious. It can feel strange. It can feel like, how do we do that? What does that even look like? And yet we are so blessed to have God's word. We are so blessed to have the Bible as our guide. The Bible is, number one, the living word of God. It is living and active. It separates us even between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, it says. It is the thing that cleans us, that guides us, that tells us about God first and foremost. So I want us to know and start our conversation here first by saying that the word of God is the handbook on who God is, what his character is, and the love letter to us of his expression towards us, what he thinks about us, how he went literally from heaven down to earth to save us by becoming born as a human, choosing to live a sinless life, choosing to share and give and love, and then choosing to let those who rejected him put him on a cross and be a sacrifice so that he could be that sacrifice for all sin, for all people, for all time. And he could redeem us so that we are in his presence forever. We have the opportunity to be in his presence. And so I just want to say that that love letter from God is the source. It is the source of who God is, and it is the source of how to have a relationship with him. So we're going to talk at the end of what it can be like to know more about how to study the Bible, how to hear his voice through scripture, how to discern how he may be speaking to us. And a big part of that is through daily Bible study. So I'll be talking about an opportunity for you to step into that at the end of our time together. But I wanted to give us maybe 10 or 12 principles about what it means to be in a relationship with God. And like I said, that very first step, if you have not made that decision in your life where you say, if I was to die right now and I was to be taken into heaven, why should God let me into heaven? Why? Right? It has to do with the fact that I am never going to be good enough. I'm never going to do enough good things. I can never earn my salvation, right? My salvation is not something that I could do or give because I am a sinner. But that just simply means that I am someone who is not perfect, who has fallen, and I need God's help. I need his redemption, and that's what he offers through Christ on the cross. And that is what brings salvation. That is what brings me to a place of peace and knowing that when I die, I will be going into heaven, because that is the assurance that we're given through the Gospels, that when we believe and call upon his name, he is quick to forgive us, he's quick to justify us, and he's quick to offer us eternal life to all who ask. So if you have not done that, I pray that you can, from the very beginning, even if you have to go back to, does God exist? Reading verses like the first two chapters of Romans that talk about the existence of God and how he exists. We can see him through creation and even in our lives, that we are given this hole in our hearts, that money, sex, food, anything in this world, fame, nothing will fill it. Nothing will fill it. But a relationship with Christ itself. So this is where I encourage you to start and to boldly, if you have not done that and you feel like God is got you in a place and you want to do this, to go before him and pray, asking him to just revealing, God, I need you. I know that I've messed up my life, that I have made mistakes, and I need you to clean me and make me whole and bring me into a relationship with you. That's where it all starts, is being able to have that relationship with Christ because of the blood of Christ covering us to make us holy and pure. Okay. So that's the first step. And then once we've done that, that is a huge, huge step, of course. And once we've done that, we have the awesome privilege of growing in God every day. Now, one amazing thing about salvation, of course, is that we don't just know God, get saved, and then we're gone, right? We have the amazing honor of growing in Christ, learning more about him, and then being like what the Bible calls a broken jar or a broken clay vessel with cracks in it, but the light is shining through it, right? We're this fragile clay jar. It talks about that in 2 Corinthians, but the light is shining through the cracks. We're called to take that light of the change that God has made in us, and we're called to show that to the nations. We're called to share it. We're called to give it. And whether it's in big ways, like you are standing on a platform, sharing, you know, and as you feel led, or it is just as valuable to love, to serve in quiet ways that no one else in the world will ever see. That is shining the light of God in this dark world. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to listen to God and to let his light shine through us and show us how to live that into this world. And so as we do that, we are obviously in a world that's fallen. We're in a world that has all kinds of opportunities to continue in sin, to mess up, to blame ourselves, to hurt other people. And so we're always looking to him for wisdom. We're always listening to him to help us be clean, to help us know, am I living in a way that's honoring you? Am I living in a way that's allowing, like going back to that picture of a jar, that's allowing the light to shine through? Or am I kind of plugging in those holes so that the light doesn't shine through the same way anymore because of my life, because of my attitude? God, help me to stay clean and whole, and help me to have your wisdom to make wise choices. And there are very specific principles that we can pull out of God's word about what's wise and what's not wise. Proverbs is an excellent book if you would ever be interested in learning about some of those principles of wisdom. It's the source on wisdom. Definitely encourage you to read that. Yet, of course, there are always decisions that we're making. Should I do this? Should I do that? What does God want from me here? Da, 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 da. And that are more gray versus black and white. And so one of the most powerful verses that I have read, and you may have heard of too, in Proverbs, specifically talking about wisdom and being led by God, is Proverbs 4, verses 5 to 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." And then this wisdom that he gives us is more precious than silver. Proverbs 3, 14 to 15 says, "Wisdom is more profitable than silver. Her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her." So this precious wisdom is coming from God himself, the creator of the universe. You think that isn't precious, right? This is valuable stuff that we're getting from God. So being able to have that connection, being able to tune into that wisdom by reading God's word, by reading the Bible, by letting it change us, by meditating on it, by choosing to act on it, not just letting it come in, but choosing to act on it. There is a definite, our salvation is not based on our fruit, so to speak, the works of our hands, but it is an evidence of what's going on in our heart. We can see what's going on in someone's heart by what comes out of their mouth, by what they talk about, what they focus on. And it's the same thing. I mean, if we have a heart that's bent on loving God and focusing on God, it's going to definitely radiate out fruit that reflects that. So that is something to think about. And then there is a discipline side to knowing God. There's a really great book. I'm going to be mentioning a couple books here that have been encouraging to me. And some of these might be, especially if you're a new believer, they might be a little intense to start off with, but I'm going to just let you decide what might be a good fit if you wanted to learn a little bit more about some of these topics, but I'm going to show them to you. So this first one is Celebration of Discipline. It's by Richard Foster. And it is a classic. It's a classic book. There's been over a million copies sold of this book. And I brought this up when talking about discipline because he talks about inward disciplines and outward disciplines. And these are things that Christians have practiced over the ages as ways to keep themselves pure, as ways to hear from God, as ways to be the light, as ways to just continually immerse themselves in God, to have a spiritual walk, right? Very interesting practices in here. Some of them are ones you may have heard of. Some of them are ones that harken back to monks and other religious figures that maybe we don't practice as much, but are still quite as valuable. So that's a great book if you are interested in that. And then there is this concept of being able to see God in the everyday, being able to see and recognize him. A big part of the Bible study method that I teach called the Spiritual Growth Rhythm, one part of that is recognize, and it is noticing, how is God showing up in my life right now? Being aware of it, just noticing that every thing that he does is for our good. It may not feel good, but that he is operating from this lens, right, of love. Everything is going through his lens of love for us. And so what are some of those ways that we can see evidences of him in our life today? And that allows us to stay focused on, wow, God really is everywhere. We don't just have maybe some big experience of, well, yeah, God showed up at that time, or God helped this person, or God did this. He is active every day. And incorporating that as a regular practice, which is why we do it in the spiritual growth rhythm, incorporating that as a regular practice is life-changing. And so being able to do that as a practice is one thing in a simple way, like we talk about in the spiritual growth rhythm, but there's also a way to do that in a way of meditation by noticing, letting God speak to us about different parts of ourself, by letting him speak to us about our relationships, things like that. And so a really great book for that is this book by Charles Stone, and it is called Holy Noticing. And if you are interested in this spiritual discipline of learning more about meditation, sort of, but just being more aware of how God may be present in your life, feeling less anxious, things like that, that's a great book to help understand how God may be speaking as part of that. And again, as I will repeat several times, the number one way that we connect with God, the number one way we connect with God is by reading the Bible, by communicating with him through prayer. But we get our wisdom from the Bible. Anything that God may reveal to you in your heart or through the Holy Spirit, which is what you would receive after becoming a Christian, all of that will line up with scripture. It will never contradict scripture. So we don't need to come up worry, but we're coming up with some crazy things. If it lines up with scripture, it is of God. So there's that book. A really important part of being in a relationship with anyone, but especially in a relationship with God, is that we need to give them our full heart. We need to be real. We need to be honest. We need to be authentic. Psalm 139 talks about that, how you search me, you know me, you hem me in behind and before, you've made me. Where can I go to hide from your presence? You are with me. When I go on the far ends of the sea, you're with me. When I go to the depths of the ocean, you're with me. When I go to the heights of the mountains, you're with me. You're with me. You never leave me. And you know every hair on my head. You know everything, every day of my life before it came to be. You formed me in my mother's womb. You created me. You know me. So with that in mind, I'm not going to try to hide from you. I'm not going to try to run from you. And I'm going to believe that who the Bible says you are, which is a kind, compassionate, loving, caring, full of mercy, that God, that is the God that you are to me. I'm going to believe that's true because that's what God's word says. No matter what I feel, right? I'm going to see all of it through that lens. We could have a whole other discussion about God's love, which is a Bible study that I have written on that topic. If you're interested, I will put a link to that in the show notes. It's called I Am Loved. This is actually the number one issue that keeps us from connecting with God in a real way, is knowing that we're loved, really kind of going, but I may have heard those verses, but do I really believe that God loves me? That's a great study for that. So I will put the link to that and you can check that out if that resonates with you. Then an important part of reading God's word and hearing his voice and being real with him about our heart and our emotions is taking action. And it is obeying. It is obedience. There is a phrase that I have been thinking about a lot lately, and that is, I am successful when I obey. Think about that. I'm successful in life, in any part of my life, when I obey God. So obeying God and doing what he says is an example of him working in us. It's an example of us saying, I trust you, God. And as Jesus says here in John 14, verses 15 and 21, he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. There is, in relationship with God, there is a duty, a responsibility of obedience. And we cannot sugarcoat that. I feel like the church has perhaps done people a disservice in modern times of saying that there is not any responsibility attached to faith. Putting aside the truth, yes, we are saved by grace alone. There is nothing we can do to earn salvation. Absolutely nothing we can do. We are given our salvation as a gift. We simply need to trust in Jesus's blood as being enough, ask him for forgiveness, and believe that he is our sacrificial lamb. Believe that. That is where we're at. At the same time, what is our faith without works, as James says? There is this double-sided part of it that we can't just say, oh God, just give me all of the good stuff, right? And not allow him to perfect us and clean us and change us and move us towards what's best for us. It's like having a car, a sports car, a finely tuned sports car, and saying, you know what? I'm not even going to follow that. I'm going to follow this manual that I read about how to use my cell phone, right? That's how I'm going to take care of this car, because this seems like it makes more sense to me to follow this manual. And it's like, but there's a specific way that the creator of the sports car wrote on how to that sports car is best going to perform. Whether it makes sense to you or not doesn't matter. If you believe that the sports car maker is wise in how they made that car, then trust them, right? And so that's a very simplified version of it, of course. And obedience can have a very loaded connotation for a lot of people. But when you know that it's coming from a God who loves you and who has his best in mind for you, that really does change your perspective. And that takes time, perhaps, if you've had some bad experiences with, quote, religion, or you've had a bad experience with people in the church or with figures, father figures, mother figures who didn't love you truly, who hurt you, people who abused you. That's a really difficult thing to come under the mantle of someone and to trust them and to obey. Yet as we grow in Christ, as we know him more and more, we see him for who he is, gentle. He says, take my yoke upon me, for I am gentle and meek in heart. And as we grow in that, we want to obey as a natural response. And so that is an important part. It's not just saying, I believe. It's not just going to church. It's not just reading the Bible even. It's like, what are you going to do with this? How is this going to change you? How is this going to affect you? Because you were made for a purpose, and God had a purpose and has a purpose of holding the entire world, literally universe, creation, all of it together. It is said by his word. It is held together by his word. So I'm going to read a couple of verses here about the importance of obedience, even on a different level. Like Romans 6:16 says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. So you may know God and your salvation may be secure, right? Because you know God, but what are you a slave to? Are you a slave to what you want and your ways and this is what I believe? Or do those ways that you feel and you say, do they line up with what God says and his word? And then 2 Corinthians 10:5, a lot of this battle for obedience takes place in our minds, which is why thoughts and managing our thoughts is so crucial. And so I encourage you to check out other podcast episodes and YouTube videos we have on managing thoughts, because it is just critical that we get this under control. But it says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts. We teach them to obey Christ. Every part of our body, every part of our mind, every part of our soul, our spirit, every part of it can come under the authority of Christ in the most loving, submissive, powerful, life-changing way. That is what it means to be changed by God and to be in relationship with him. And all of these things take time. They're not going to happen like in a snap instant. It's every day coming to God again with authenticity and honesty, saying, oh, what is this? Like, how do I feel about this? And Lord, help me to be more in line with you. And also another question that comes up in this area is hearing God's voice. How do I know that God is speaking to me? Well, I want to mention a couple of resources about that. We're going to be doing an episode on that in a few weeks, so stay tuned for that. But also, the number one thing, of course, to hear God and to know how he wants us to live or respond, it is in the Bible. That is listening to his truth, reading his truth, letting it sink in so that it becomes a natural response in us, the owner's manual, so to speak, having that. That is the number one way we hear God's voice is through scripture itself. And then there are a couple other really great books that I wanted to mention. This is Whisper. It's by Mark Batterson. I'm hoping to have him on the podcast and YouTube show here this year. We'll see. But this is a very powerful book. It's about how to hear the voice of God. And he talks about the seven languages of God, the seven ways that God can speak. Again, also emphasizing the Bible is the main way that the Lord speaks to his people, but that he speaks through scripture, right? We just said scripture, through desires, through doors, through dreams, through people, through promptings, and to pain. So really great read. And I encourage you to check that one out if you're learning about or wanting to learn more about how to hear God's voice in different ways. And then another book, which I do not have in front of me, but I have gone through this study before, is called The Discerning the Will of God by Priscilla Schreier. Priscilla is one of my favorite Bible teachers. And this is a Bible study approach to hearing God's will, to hearing God's voice, knowing what God is saying to you, things like that. Powerful study. So I recommend you check that out as well. A couple other things I wanted to mention about living in Christ, what it means to really know God, to have an authentic spiritual life. Like we had said before, allowing his truth to clean us, to change us when we fall out of line, learning that difference between conviction and condemnation, meaning conviction is the Holy Spirit keeping us in line, saying, my daughter, I love you. I want you to do this differently because I see, like we do for our own children, no, it's not good for you to go do this because I know that if you do this, you could get hurt or this is not the best for you. So let me show you a different way. That's that conviction versus condemnation is from the enemy. And it's saying, you're dumb, you're stupid. Why would you do that? How could you ever think that? God doesn't even love you, all that kind of stuff. Again, a whole nother podcast episode, and we're going to talk about that. But that we are open and flexible to hearing his truth and then continuing to be real about our questions, letting his place in a connection with him be a safe place to ask those questions, keeping ourselves surrounded by community. This is important. And especially once I'm recording this in the time of COVID, our community and what community is has been altered really. And in some places it's non-existent. Some of us aren't able to even go to a church right now because of the restrictions that are in place. And so we have to find ways to find community. A lot of us are finding community online. I know I host an online community Bible study itself. It's a 12-month-long program called the Connected Bible Community. You'll be hearing a little bit more about that in the next few episodes as we're going to be opening enrollment again in February. So excited about that. But community is important because it keeps us, it first of all, it allows us to see God in other people's lives. It allows us to see that God is real, working in other people too, and he's changing them and he's doing great things. You've heard the phrase, iron sharpens iron. Well, it's sometimes God, like we had said in this book, Whisper, God speaks through people. Sometimes other people who are godly people who know God's word might reveal something to you. I had that happen to me this morning. And it just keeps us accountable to staying faithful, to trusting God, and to following him. So overall, all of that being said, a relationship with God is this living, active, almost hard to define thing sometimes, right? We've talked about some aspects of what it means to love God and to know God and to be in a relationship with him versus just having a religion or just saying, I'm this, whatever. What it means to be in a relationship with God. But at the same time, at the end of the day, God, as C.S. Lewis so famously wrote in the Chronicles of Narnia, he said, he's not referring to Aslan, who was the Christ figure in that book, but he said, he's not a tame lion. He is not a lion that we can just figure out, like that just does our tricks for us. And we do this and he does that. I mean, he's mysterious. He's beautiful in that. And that can be very scary, but it can also be comforting and beautiful because I don't know about you, but I don't want to follow someone that I can figure out, that I know every step to, that I know what he's going to say and that's not a God. That's just some little weird something, a religion. That's a religion, honestly. God is God. God is bigger than what we can even hope or imagine. He is bigger, and that mystery is a beautiful thing. So I have mentioned that there is an opportunity coming up in a little while, depending on when you're listening to this, but it will be mid-February when we will be doing two things here in the Vibrant Christian Living Community. First of all, we will be offering the Reconnect Challenge, and this is a five-day challenge where you'll be working live with me. We will be going through a study, a Bible study together, and this Bible study uses the Spiritual Growth Rhythm, which is a Bible study method that I've created and that I've used in several Bible studies in the Connected Bible community itself. And I will be detailing out again in the next few weeks. You'll be hearing me mention it. And I can also reference some other podcast episodes where I've talked about it specifically step by step. It's a powerful method to help you understand a verse, apply a verse, respond to a verse, see God in your life right now and recognize Him through gratitude, and to also release the fears and worries that you have. It's a beautiful process. It takes about 10 minutes a day to do that, and it is life-changing. So we're going to be going through as a way to kickstart or jumpstart your faith in 2021. We're going to be having the Reconnect Challenge in mid-February, and I will leave links to that when it is available for you to sign up and to join us for that. And then at the end of the Reconnect Challenge, we will be opening enrollment for the Connected Bible community for the next group of ladies coming in. And this is exciting because you can see, hey, do I like this form of studying the Bible? Do I enjoy, you know, Alicia, how she teaches or whatever? Everyone's kind of got their own style and connection. And you can experience that through the challenge. But if you're like, no, I want to commit to really saying, this is my year to grow closer to God, then the Connected Bible community is amazing. We'll be giving you more details about that. But our study for the year revolves around identity. Who are you as God's daughter? You are loved. You are accepted. You are chosen. You are known. You are, I'm trying to think of all the different themes, but there's 12 different themes. And we have been going through them this year, and we're going to take the next round through starting in March. And like I said, signups will come. The doors will open for that for a very short time at the end of February. But if you are curious about what it means to have a relationship with God and to walk with Him, to learn how to study the Bible, to like grow in a way that's powerful and meaningful within a community of other women around the world, this is an amazing way to do that. So that is all we have for our time today. I, again, so appreciate you here. I love hearing from you. I love hearing what resonated with you. I would love for you in the comments to share what resonated with you, but also to answer what questions you still might have about a relationship with God. What does it mean to know God and be in a relationship with Him? We're going to be detailing a few more things about that in the next few weeks as we're going to continue talking about spiritual growth, but this is really something that is the key foundation, like we said, to vibrant living and to having a life that lives beyond our circumstances. So if you love this episode, I encourage you to subscribe if you're on YouTube, or subscribe if you're whatever podcast you're listening to, whatever podcast app you're listening to. Leave a comment. That totally encourages us here on YouTube. Or if you want to leave a comment on your podcast app, that's amazing too. Or you can reach out to me on Instagram. It's at Vibrant Christian Living. And either way, take great care of yourself. And I look forward to seeing you again back here at our next episode. Bye-bye.